I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Today, we are picking up our pursuit of the actual answers that make life make sense, because they should exist. And since searching the big picture is such a big task, we are going to give ourselves 4 whole weeks. We're in week 2 here. 4 whole weeks, though, to sort out our origin, our meaning, our morality, and our destiny. And this morning, we are aiming to answer the easiest one, the meaning of life. Right? So that should we'll be done in 5 minutes. So let's see where we're all at so far by answering this question right here. What's the point? Seriously, what got you out of bed and led you to do whatever it is that you are planning to do today? Because it's got to be something, right? You got something there that is that purpose that you have. And I'll tell you what, last week we looked at our origin, right? We looked at our origin story as I shared some of the stuff that blew my mind and broke my heart in searching for a working worldview, right? That actually made sense. And in the end, I told you why I gave in to giving God his shot as the supernatural supplement to all of my scientific answers. Right? And that right there, when that happened, that's when things started falling into place, finally, for me. But it was not because the Bible told me so, right? And I think that a lot of us maybe have that idea that it just tells you and then it makes sense and then it's over. But no, it wasn't that. It was because it proved itself by providing a meaning of life that made sense of everything that I was seeing out there. And it was consistent and it was coherent and it rationally, by thought, with reason, it rationally fit my experience and my intuition if I was just willing to accept, you know, a supernatural origin for myself as a child of God. That's all that was asking, you know, a big concession. Admit that you're a child of God. Sounds pretty great, but even as a cocky 20-something, who thought he was a pretty big deal, which I did at the time, God Jr. feels a bit much, right? That's a big identity. So I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I came to believe it makes sense I'm God's heir, all right? And it all starts with meaning. Meaning. And so here's the easy question. What does meaning mean? Don't you love those? You know, just, you don't even know what to do with them. What does meaning mean? That right there is what we got to figure out, though, because that's the key to one of our core questions that we need to answer when building a worldview. It's the why behind life that we're wired to want answered so bad. It's the end and all of the means and everything in between. It is all of it, explaining it. And as hard as it is, we talked about last week, to scan and solve like a Where's Waldo puzzle, finding meaning in life is like reading an impossible book that would be called Wise Waldo. Why? How would you even know what to do? Why is Waldo? That's impossible. How would you know when you were finished? Welcome to the nightmare of existential philosophy. That's what it is. Why is Waldo? Impossible to answer. But luckily, I'll tell you what, we've been struggling with this since the beginning of time, so there's a lot of the legwork has been done in chasing down these kinds of answers. For starters, we actually have a pretty good grip on what we're looking for when we're looking for meaning. And a lot of people have a lot of different definitions here, but I really like the way that Tim Keller summarizes it. He says, meaning is where purpose and significance overlap. Okay? I like that. That makes sense. That's saying, for something to be meaningful, it has to intentionally have an impact on us. Because otherwise, it's just random or it's pointless. And when something is random or pointless, we call it meaningless, right? It does not have meaning. So the question becomes, what's life's significant purpose? And that is a huge question, obviously, but it has a deceptively simple answer. In fact, it's as easy to understand as the number 42 once we got the question figured out, so don't panic. And though I did spend a lot of time, we talked about this last week, I spent a lot of time in the secular science says camp when I was hunting for a good origin story. Not so much with meaning. You do not turn to them for the meaning of life, because life's purpose and significance was always, admittedly, the weakest part of the science says worldview. Since the logical answer that they have to go with is a little uninspiring. You ready for it? There is none. Hooray! Right? That just wanted to get out of your seat and go take on the world? No, there's none. Okay. As a matter of fact, Stephen Hawking says, the human race is just a chemical scum on a moderate-sized planet. Thanks for the pep talk, Steve. Right? I mean, what? Like, how do you just keep going? But it's true, because without anything outside of nature, that is what you have to believe. Because nobody put us here for any purpose. And since this place, this whole universe, is, as we believe in science, going to expire, nothing we do objectively matters at all. And that's what they all say. Even Carl Becker, this is historian Carl Becker, said in a famous Yale lecture, said, from a strictly scientific viewpoint, human beings must be seen as little more than a chance deposit on the surface of the earth, carelessly thrown up between two ice ages by the same forces that rust iron and ripen corn. You feeling pretty good about yourself? That's, oh yeah, that's something, right? So, I mean, that just takes away all of your sense of significance and purpose. So how do all of these science says atheists, of which I was trying to be one, you know, trying to make things make sense, how do you handle a life that's ultimately without purpose or significance? I tell you what, this answer to how you do that is even better. Here it is. Try not to think about it. Oh, thanks. Again, these are unbelievable. Try not to, if it's getting you down, try not to think about it. And sure, they'll dress up that idea by changing context and sort of limiting the logic in which they do it. But if a life without factual purpose or actual significance bothers you, their general advice is very clear, and it's throughout all of them. To the degree you can remain ignorant, you can retain bliss. These are the people who are looking down their snobby noses thinking that they're super smart, all right? And I was one of them, but this is the best that they had. And I was like, okay, fair enough, I guess, but I just don't know that I can undo the instinct to think long enough to enjoy anything. Right? Because it is surprisingly difficult to stay numb and dumb all day. Trust me, I know, because I was a bartender for 10 years. And on top of it, I tried it personally. And I'll tell you what, when I tried it, no matter how hard I worked to accept this weakness in a worldview, this idea that it didn't matter and the best way to deal with it was not to think about it, I couldn't shake the sensation that there was an actual truth, a real objective, actual truth, always lurking nearby somewhere, just baiting me into thinking things through. And I would experience it in certain things, like C.S. Lewis refers to this saying that you can't ignore it. He says, if I decided to just try and have a good time, right, which is kind of the idea, make your own meaning, just have a good time in life, that's what the meaning of life is, and you try to ignore that feeling that it should make more sense and have more meaning, well, it would be hard to be in love with my wife. Because deep down, I know, and I'll keep remembering that everything about her that I just find so profoundly beautiful was really just a momentary and accidental pattern produced by the collision of atoms. You know? And my feelings for her, my deep feelings, are just sort of a psychic phosphorescence arising from the behavior of my genes. It's my Hallmark card to you. How do you live with that? You know, for me, I went, well, there goes love, right? That's terrible. I can't. And there goes art and music and everything that brought me joy back when I thought, you know, maybe something would have some meaning to it, but it just didn't. So I kind of like backed off. This is when I started looking around and I revisited Christianity at this point too. And I said, what do you got, right? What's my alternative? What were the Christians offering as the meaning of life that would make sense, better sense of my story and their claim that I had a supernatural origin story. And please tell me that whatever they had, it's better than forget about it, which is all I was getting. Well, I'll tell you what, I found it. And it was, oh my goodness, it was so much better. You know where I found it? The prodigal son. The prodigal son, simple story. We all know it, simple story, and it hit close to home with me right where I was, and then it changed the way I saw home forever. And I'm sure most of us know the story, but to review, I want to run through it here real quick. It's about an impatient rich kid who demands his inheritance, leaves the family, blows the money, and ends up so broke. How broke was he? So broke. Oh, I like that. So broke that he's jealous of the pigs that he's hired to feed. And after he gets a taste of the stuff that he thought he wanted, he's haunted by the memory of how good he now knows that he actually had it back at home. So he ditches doing things his way and heads home, hoping that his dad will let him move back in as a servant instead of a son. Excuse me. But before he even makes it home, his dad comes to him and he hears his humbled heart. And he welcomes him home with a party, saying, "This son of mine was dead and is alive again." Does that sound familiar? Because it did to me. It did to me. I was going through a lot of that story on my own naturally. And then something happened. Something incredible happened, actually. I realized I'm not just living that down here, but this is an echo of the same story that we all share. And suddenly, in that moment, I saw the big picture. This is where we start to find the meaning. This is what makes sense of all the stuff that's going on in your life. Here it is. We're here because we wanted what God wouldn't offer, because he knew better, and we did not. And we'd never have a happy harmony back at home unless we all really wanted to be there, chose it. So because we weren't there yet, he let us leave to learn what we want, because we had it wrong. And that right there, that is unbelievably profound. That is the supernatural story that is threaded through the Bible that not only explains where we came from, but why we are here. All right? And so in case it's been lost in your translation, because you can read at your Bible and miss some of this big picture stuff if you aren't careful. What I'd like to do is summarize the story from the Bible with a few words that the author gave, right? That will give, and these are the words that gave purpose and significance to all the good and bad that I ever had, and even more meaning every minute that I am still here. And so those scriptures are on the last page of your transcript there if you want to take a look at them later, but I'm going to just tell you the story that I saw through them, because it's a really simple story that intuitively makes a lot of sense. And here it goes. A long time ago, in a paradise far, far away, God the Father said, "Let's make humans in our image." And just like all kids, it didn't take long for God's offspring to start challenging Dad because they wanted to be like him and not just a kid. Right? And we all know that feeling. So one day, after someone else gave them some bad information, some misinformation, they decided to go against Dad's command, thinking that they might actually know better and want something that he didn't want. And a broken-hearted dad saw the kids had, in fact, become a little bit more like him, learning about good and evil. But unlike Dad, they did evil. They did it. Because even though they knew the difference, they weren't sold on which one to want. And Dad knew they couldn't stay at home while they were this way. Because what made paradise perfect was how everything worked together for good. And differing desires that create conflicts, well, that can't happen. That can't exist in a perfect place, even when they come from his own kids. So they needed to move out, and they needed to get right. So Dad sent them down here to taste whatever they wanted, to make up their own mind concerning what was bad and what was good. However, because Dad was perfect and from the perfect place, and he loved them with a perfect love. He loved them too much to leave them alone. He packed a note into their bags. We call it the Bible, to jog their memories of the life back home, because he knew the way they would grow to know that they really did want Dad's good was being let down by down here. And so he watched and he waited as his kids did just what Dad knew they would do. They learned they didn't want anything apart from what Dad had, and they yearned to go back home. I feel that. So they reread that note, started poring over it, and they started to see exactly what Dad did and why he did what he did. They understood that their double-minded mix-up, it was their double-minded mix-up of good and bad is the thing that was tearing them apart individually. And likewise, up there, going against good back at home is what ruined the relationships in perfection. It was from that disharmony. They knew they needed to get on the same page as Dad by being humble enough to admit that they were wrong. And right then, right when they reached the end of themselves, and were willing to go tell Dad that they now wanted the same stuff that he did, Dad beat them to the punch. Dad came down to them as Jesus to hear their heart and to walk them home. And that meant making absolute certain that the lesson was learned by giving them the living example of the true good that needs to be agreed upon for perfect unity up there in the perfect community. And the living example was really simple. He boiled it down so that we could all understand it no matter our age. He said the living example is this: love. Just love. Because love is what keeps perfection perfect. Love keeps the focus on fulfilling the interests of others in an act of harmony instead of conflict. So Dad held their hand and led them all the way back home as Jesus by showing them the simple attitude adjustment that gets everything to fall in line with all Dad's rules for perfection. So simple. Two things. He said, just love Dad and love the other kids, and we won't have any conflict anymore. Because once we all learn that Father knows best, he really does, we'll all want what he wants. And we'll follow his lead that has been laid out in Jesus, so that we can all live it up in the place of perfection that is perpetually held together by each individual member choosing to love the whole body above themselves. And then it's all taken care of. Tidy story that makes perfect sense. And as Christians, we are told that we are those kids. That is us. And if that is true, picking up the moral of that story means discovering the meaning of your life. Here it is. Your purpose is to learn to choose to love what's good. We do that naturally. Every day, this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad. Figure it out. Love it. Chase it down. Just like Jesus. That's what he did. Divide those things and come to that understanding of what is good and love it. And that is a significant purpose, because doing that is how we have to be for the harmony up in heaven. It's the fix for our flaw that has to happen. And that story and that understanding and that purpose and that significance, that fit the feelings from all my experiences that I was having down here, as well as that instinct that I was having about up there. It made sense. It spanned both of those realms. And it makes sense that selfless love, of course, is required to keep the peace in a perfect place where life is lived forever and ever without any worry of somebody disturbing the peace. It has to be that way, because it's true that we all do obey our own beliefs above all things, right? What we believe is what we obey way more than the boundaries of others. So we have to come to an understanding in ourselves. So it makes sense that to get us ready to rejoin perfection, we had to build our own beliefs that agree with his uncompromising perfect good. We have to match it. So that's what we're doing here. Figuring that out, getting on the same page. And look, I will tell you right now, you may have lost sight of home, but home has never lost sight of you. He is looking the entire time under the watchful eye of a loving father. And I can tell you that because I went full prodigal. I mean, we're talking full prodigal because I wanted to see and I wanted to taste what the world had to offer. But here's the lesson that I had to learn in hindsight. Even running away from God to chase after what I wanted was playing right into his hands because he's God. Right into his hands. He had me right where he wanted me. Because whether we're hating evil or loving good, we are always fulfilling his plan because it's a perfect plan. It's a perfect plan with perfect love. Because wherever you're headed, this place is designed to get us all to stop and think, period. It does. It is confusing. It is chaotic. That's what we're talking about. It's a noodle maker. It is one of those things that just makes you stop and think. Why is that? Why do I love my wife? Is it the chemicals? Or is she drugging me? I don't know. No. It's so much more because there is so much more, right? Stop and think. And stopping and thinking, well, that right there is the poison pill for a weak worldview. Like the science says, that's where it falls apart. Don't think about it, you know? There is no meaning. Whoa, if I stop and think about it, it just doesn't make sense of what I'm seeing and how I'm feeling. But stopping and thinking about it is the glue that holds a good worldview together. So when Christianity has the audacity to egg us on by demanding that we ask, seek, and knock, we would be foolish not to plug it in and play so that we can honestly say whether or not it makes sense of our story. And sure, I mean, we can all feel a little lost. We do all the time, wondering why we're down here, trying to put a fine point on exactly what it is that we're supposed to do and how we do it, right? But also don't deny that we all also feel a little love. We feel that instinct to love. We feel that supernatural desire for something bigger in love that reminds us where we actually belong. And if we can accept that struggle between those two, feeling lost and not knowing, and yet that intuition of knowing that there is something to that and that desire to love, if we can accept that struggle as part of our purpose, then we can start to see behind the scenes and discover that the very love that we need to learn before we go back to the perfect place is what gave us this place to sort things out and bring us back. This world right here is an act of love. This world is where we can make those mistakes that lead us to want what is good and know it without completely destroying everything, which is what would happen if we messed it up there. And the critical reminder in that supernatural note that we got packed into our bags that we all have access to all the time, anytime you want to ask Dad something and he says it's in there, open that Bible. The critical reminder in there is that God wrote into our natural story is that there is a simple reason, all right? Don't overcomplicate things. It's a simple reason that you're here and there's an easy way to get home. And it's this, you're the reason you're here, right? And your mistakes, it's okay. And he's the way to get home, guaranteed. And if God is who he says he is, the force behind both of those truths, both of them, that we're the reason we're here and that he's the way home, is the same thing that's behind everything that he does, and it's love. It's just that simple. It's love. He claims that he has to be. He is the picture of perfection. And that means that he is infinite love, perfect love, and that he loves us so much that rather than lose us, he joined us and walked the most painful path back home so that we'd never have to do it alone. He showed us the redeeming and perfecting effect of love, how it restores things, right? The perfecting effect that love has on the suffering that we have caused ourselves by taking on that same suffering, coming to meet us where we were at without ever earning it, and then walking that back to perfection to show us the way. And he did it joyfully, just so that we could clearly see the meaning in life was indeed to understand and completely, personally, actually believe love never fails. Say that with me. Love never fails. That's it. Take that home. Put it inside you. Believe that. Struggle with it. Because if we are both the object and instrument of the supernatural love that is behind perfection that holds it together? Well, the Nat King Cole was right when he said, the greatest thing that you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. That's it. And so now the question just becomes, how do we do that? How do we do that love down here in that way that gets us back up there? And you know, that's the next big answer in the big picture, and we're gonna hunt it down next week because we are out of time. But that's what we're gonna be talking about when we take on morality. So I hope to see you then, but until then, let's pray. Father God, we love you for loving us so much that you believe it's worth the risk to bring us back in spite of our past. Holy Spirit, lead us to learn to love others in the way that produces peace and harmony and unity in our community. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for walking that painful path from our mistakes to your perfection to prove the power of your love. And to that, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.